Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Developing an Annual Student Ministry Planner by Brother Larry Chappell. Brother Larry Chappell is a senior high youth pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
A lot of youth ministries operate under the assumption that we are a youth ministry, so we have to have this activity, and once a year we have to have a camp, and once a year we have to do this, and that's what we do because we're youth pastors, we have to do this, and we operate under that assumption. And really, it is expected of us, but there's got to be something deeper than that. Going through college and growing up here, you hear quotes all the time. One of them you hear quite often is, "He who aims at nothing hits it every time." And that's why planning is really, I believe, much of what we see here today is because some planning has been put into place. And really, underneath, before all the nuts and bolts of it, a vision has been cast. So begin by articulating your vision. Operating a youth ministry without a vision is like driving a car that's out of alignment, okay? You'll drive it and you'll get somewhere, but it's probably not where you want to be. Not to say that if you don't have a plan, you won't see people saved, but you probably won't be as effective as you could be without having a vision and setting some goals. Vision comes from a leader and his time with being with God. That's where the vision comes from, and time with your pastor. Don't get a vision that is, "Hey, this is what I want to do, and the Lord pressed this upon my heart, so pastor, whether you like it or not, this is what we were doing in youth ministry." No. Usually when a vision comes from the Lord, it's the same, it's reflected, it's mirrored in the pastor's heart as well. But understand your vision. Begin to articulate it. If you look in the planner here, you can see our primary goals in youth ministry are to develop a committed team of growing leaders, a faithful team of trained volunteers, a clear structure of responsibility and teamwork, a solid Bible-centered teaching plan through Sunday school classes, Bible studies, a life touch database, we'll talk about that in a little bit, tracking personal ministry, a mentoring-based teen soul winning plan, a public Bible club outreach ministry, a strong teamwork between church and school, a commitment to support the local church and the home, a balanced activity event schedule that focuses on relationship. So for us, these are the big picture items. These are the vision that we're trying to, accomplish. And then we've got the goals, and there's some general goals there, and we won't take the time to read those one by one, but there's some general goals for the entire student ministries. There's some goals specifically for our junior high, our senior high, senior class, college and career, age, single, and the singles department. So we begin early by saying, hey, what is it that we want to accomplish? I remember one of the big things when I came on is we want to start up some public high school Bible clubs. And we had some in the past, but when I came on 4 years ago, we had no public high school Bible clubs. And this is something that really my dad, our pastor, has said, we need to get back into the public schools. And Brother Schmidt wholeheartedly agreed, and this is something that, hey, this is what we're going to do. This was a vision. So our vision and our goals here are listed, but start with that, articulate the vision. When you're looking to see what you want to accomplish and when you start to articulate your vision, strive for balance. Strive for balance in the number of activities that you have, who you have them with. Strive for balance between maybe a big group activity and a smaller group activity. Strive for balance in those areas. Think long term. Successful youth ministry is not always observed immediately. It often takes years to see the fruit of your labor. This 2 weeks ago, we went to teen camp. Brother Josh Ermler, who's pastoring now in Fresno, he used to be here on staff, and he was the junior high youth pastor. And he told me, he says, if I would have stayed as the junior high youth pastor, this year I would have seen those seventh graders graduate. Because the time had come for those seventh graders had gone all the way through, and now they graduated. And he said, as much as pastoring much as I love pastoring and as awesome as it is, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, I do wish I could have been here to see that whole process, because youth ministry, successful youth work is not instantaneous. And sometimes that is so frustrating because you want to beat these guys over the head with something because the growth is not there. But then, you know, 3 years down the line, you look and like, man, something changed. And a lot of times it's even hormonal, but always spiritual. Stick with it, because successful growth is measured in years. So think long term. Focus on personal ministry. Focus on personal ministry. The battles, the spiritual battles that we fight are won on a personal basis. Sometimes we have great intentions when it comes to personal ministry. A lot of times we'll spend time working on an activity or something that's a group activity, and those are all necessary, but you have to balance that with personal ministry. And I believe that is the success behind our youth ministry. We have, among our graduates, 70%+ stay in church, stay faithful to God, compared to some of the new evangelical churches where they see less than 20% actually stay. So we're seeing a great retention rate. And really, that's due to the personal ministry. It's not always about big group events. There's one-on-one personal ministry. I mean, taking guys to lunch, writing personal notes, focus on personal ministry. Minister as you formulate your vision. Minister and encourage parents. Don't leave them out of your overall plan. Your plans will fail if your parents aren't involved. Some parents, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, some parents have the assumption that they're in the youth group, they have a bad attitude, you fix it. You're the youth pastor. Man, I had one guy come to me, and he was all concerned because his son had a bad attitude. And I was talking to his son, and all of a sudden opened up a whole can of words about stuff that he's telling me about his dad. And you're coming to me telling me to talk to your son when you have all these issues in your life. And he was really quite upset with the fact that we hadn't corrected all his son's problem to that point. And we came back, and I met with Brother Schmidt and said, hey, this guy's upset about this, you know, with his son, but really there's bigger problems, the problem's with him. And we met with him and said, the problem is with you. And if you don't have the parents on board, if you don't get them to catch the vision, you're not going to go far, and you're not going to make a lot of progress in the lives of their team. Keep the vision current. Vision changes. We've had, in our ministry, the vision is always cast, and then it's changed. And I don't know, Brother Tellers, would you remember the next step that we came out with? Do you remember the next step when we unveiled that? This is our campus master plan, and it's coming. You would have been here. Maybe 10 years ago we did this or so. And we had this big display, and here are the next 7 steps that we are going to accomplish. And I think the first one was to expand the balcony. We did that. I don't remember what the rest of them were, you know. I think the second or third one, they talked about the Gatheria, they're going to call it. You know, this glass connector building. It was pretty awesome looking conceptually. And it never quite happened. But you know what? The vision changes. We did exactly, I believe, what the Lord wanted us to do. And it was, rather than a big fancy glass connector hallway, we needed some Sunday school space, and we needed something like the Rebels building. But vision changes, so keep the vision current. Vision will change from class to class. Each class, I talked with Brother Schmidt as my 11th grade class began to transfer into his 12th grade class, and I told him, man, here's where these guys are spiritually. And they like to have fun. They're a little bit more rambunctious, and he's going to change and cater some things based on that. So vision changes, even from class to class, definitely from year to year. The vision we talked about provides alignment. Come back to your vision. Frequently come back to your vision and say, where are we on this? Maybe we need to cast new vision. You may have heard this before. The legendary Walt Disney died before Disney World was open in 1971. And 1971, when they opened it on their opening day, Mike Vance, creative director of Walt Disney Studios, said to his friend, he said, isn't it too bad that Walt Disney wasn't here to see it? He didn't live to see it. And the guy said, you don't understand. He did see it. It was his vision. He's already seen it. That's why it's here. Okay? And when you start with a vision, and we'll talk about putting a plan to it, when kids grow up and graduate through the youth ministry and they serve God and they love God, it's a miracle, but it shouldn't come as a surprise because that was part of the plan. So keep it current. Keep it fresh. Make sure it's effective. Many ministries have perfected purpose statements. And it seemed like growing up, I remember churches talking about purpose statements, almost sometimes even like it was a fad. And it seems like sometimes there's a major disconnect between here's our purpose statement, it sounds incredible, you know, and then they don't even have, you know, hardly a functioning youth group, but they've got an awesome purpose statement. And a lot of times there's a disconnect between the two. So here's the vision. Now, how can we make it effective? Okay. Number two, first of all, or secondly, make training and equipping your student ministry leaders your first priority. Make training and equipping your student ministry leaders your first priority. When it comes to your vision, now you've got a vision, okay? You've outlined, hey, Pastor, this is what I feel the Lord wants us to do. We're going to write the junior hires. We're going to have fellowships, home fellowships. We're going to have personal ministry. And that's the vision. You get the okay. Now it's time to get some other people on board. And those are your leaders. And you say, well, you know, there's no one paid staff, no one that I work on. There needs to be some key people that help you facilitate the youth ministry. And they've got to be on board. There are three levels of buy-in. For people to buy into a vision, first of all, the first level of buy-in is that people believe in a vision enough to benefit from it. And these are the parents that they're not going to do much when it comes to raising their kids, but they will. They believe the youth group's a good place for their teens to be, and they are at that level of buy-in. You know, they believe in it enough to benefit from it. And yes, I want my kids to go to the school because I believe we will benefit from it. The second level of buy-in is people that believe in the vision enough to contribute comfortably. Okay, and this is okay. Some people, hey, I'm not going to be a full-blown youth worker, but if you ever need a driver, if you ever need this, I'll be there. They want to contribute comfortably. And then the third level of buy-in is people that give into a vision enough to give their lives to it. And these are who you want to be working with when it comes to your youth. We are so careful to put someone in a class. We don't ever throw someone into a Sunday school classroom. We don't ever, hey, he's got a great personality. Why don't you work in youth? It never goes that way. In all honesty, people are usually here years with a great track record and background checks and just a proven spiritual walk before they ever get involved. It's so funny, and you guys will know this too. It seems like sometimes the newer Christians, the first thing they want to do, hey, I'm going to get involved in the youth ministry. And God bless their ambition, but they're probably not ready yet. Make sure they're at this level of buy-in. Make sure that they're ready to give their lives to it. Your team has to be on the level. Equipping your team and getting them to buy into the plan and to the vision is essential. Everyone craves a cause worth fighting for. We all want to be a part of something that makes a difference for eternity. And this is what I love about Brother Schmidt, because he will spend time with God, and God will impress upon his heart, hey, we're going to do this. And I think of our Life Touch system, and if you're in some of the youth sessions or if you talk to him, you may have heard of this or if you've been here before, but we have an online system where we can track who we are having personal ministry with, and we can pull it up on our phones or on our computer. We can visually see the teens that we are engaging one-on-one. And I remember when Brother Schmidt came up with this concept, and I really do believe that it was from the Lord. The Lord impressed upon him. What happened is, we're supposed to take teens to lunch. This is part of our vision. This is part of our plan, and we do it. We take teens to lunch, but we were taking the same 10 teens. So these guys were benefiting from endless Happy Meals and Big Macs, you know. Meanwhile, someone potentially could go through our entire youth group and never get a personal contact. So Brother Schmidt said, we need to put something visually, our Life Touch database, where every time you take someone to lunch, you enter it in the database, and we can see visually who we've touched and who we've had a contact with. And I remember when the Lord gave him that, and I remember when he came to our student ministries leader meeting, and he unveiled that to us, and man, he was passionate about it, and we all bought into it fully, and we were all so excited. But what he did to us is he presented a cause that was worth fighting for. This was something that was worth putting our time and effort. It is worth tracking who we take to lunch, and it was something worth fighting for. How do we do this with our group? We interface with our workers and our volunteers on a few different levels. First of all, through training luncheons. These are multiple times a year we have training luncheons. And let me say, if you don't have training luncheons with your youth leaders, and you say, well, it's just two or three of us, even easier. Let's get together and let's cast the vision and let's share the vision. Multiple times a year, we'll gather everyone together and we'll say, hey, here's where we're at. And I think one of the things that we do is we pass out our curriculum plan. We plan out, we have a four-year curriculum plan so that when someone comes into our ministry, they're not going to hear the same thing over and over again. But the teachers will be able to rotate. And they're not coming up with new curriculum from now until Jesus comes. We have a curriculum plan. We pass that out at the time. At that luncheon, we look at our classroom charts and we see who's where, what workers do we have in which class. Does that size fit the classroom? Maybe we should move this around. But we have these luncheons, and that's where we unveil the big vision for the year and try to address these issues. We have youth, we call it our Youth Communique. It's a weekly newsletter, goes out every week on Wednesday. It's email. They used to email it, mail it, and hand deliver it. You know, so you got stacks of these youth communiques, but they're getting pretty good now. About Brother Schmidt will just send out an emailed format of the youth communique, and it really it's semi long term. It's, you know, here's camp in 2 months. Make sure you're announcing that in your class. But really, it's what's happening this week, in the next few weeks. Then we ask for feedback biweekly. This is all comes into making it a priority of equipping our leaders and bringing them part of the vision. We every other week, we send an email out to each of our teachers. Every teacher on this list will get this email. We ask them, how is the spirit of your class? What lessons have you taught the last 2 weeks to make sure they're still on the curriculum schedule? How long was your last lesson? Are you on track with your curriculum? Have you covered the announcements? Because we were hitting a period of time where we had some great activities coming up, and some of the teachers were getting preoccupied in their classes, and they weren't covering the announcements. So we wanted to know, are you covering the announcements? Has your classroom been set up? You'll frustrate your leaders if you don't facilitate their needs. And the first week we did this, one of our teachers emailed us back and said, I've had a broken dry erase board for like a year. You know, you could tell he was kind of upset about it. And we got him a new one that week. But we do our best to facilitate. Are there any problems? We ask them. Any spiritual needs that you're aware of? Any parents contacted you? If we have a parent that's upset about something and they've contacted one of our lay volunteers, we'd rather them talk to us and we'd fix it through that way. And then we give them the resources. That is, we give them the curriculum they need. I think for a few weeks here, we combine. We have our promotion Sunday every year. We wanted to create a buffer because our senior class was not promoting out because of teen camp. So what we were going to do, promote all the grades up through ninth grade, but then combine the ninth and tenth graders. And that meant that the Schellenbergs were going to have to teach double classes. So we had to make sure that their rooms were big enough, the air conditioning was working, they had enough bulletins. We really had to facilitate that. And I emailed Brother Schellenberg and said, this is what we do. First of all, are you okay with it? Because we don't want to put any undue pressure on you. And this was a few weeks out. And he emailed back that he was okay. And I asked him in that first email, is there anything that we can do to help facilitate this? And he emailed me back. He's like, yes, one case of Red Bull, please. So I have on my to-do list to go get him a Red Bull as soon as leadership conference, a case of Red Bull. Just to be a and he was joking, but just to be a blessing to him, make sure you facilitate them. Evaluate the health of your leader spiritually, not in a condescending or judgmental way, you know, how are you doing spiritually? But honestly, if the Lord is allowing you to sense that maybe they're not where they should be, maybe we ought to pull them aside. Hey, are we on the same page here? Do you still believe this? Are you still okay with the leadership requirements that you signed up for? And we do that quite frequently. And we say, you know what, why don't we take a break right now from student ministries and then let's come back in 3 months or so or something. But make sure, evaluate the health of that. So have a plan, get a vision, involve and facilitate as much as you can the training and equipping of your youth leaders. That's got to be top priority. Then, number three, implement a calendar strategy to accomplish your goals. Take your vision, share it with your team, then from that, determine the events and projects that you're going to do. And that's really what this is that I pass out to you. If you look at this, you know, here's what we're going to do. Our vision is to do birthday cards. So we're going to put it on here, and it's an ongoing, you know, every week we come back and we look at the birthday cards. Or we're going to have a teen rally. We're going to have our Strive program, which is our yearly stewardship program for the teens. We're going to do that. And here's our winter retreat, and here's all of our different events that we put down. And we'll come back to this in just a second. So determine the events. And here on this is so simple, but so many churches don't do it. Here's what we want to do. We want to do a college and career winter retreat, okay? Now we've worked kind of backwards from the start date, working backwards to every little action item, okay? What do we have to accomplish leading up to the college and career? Okay, well, first of all, we have to contract with the hotel. This is a year in advance. We have to define the budget and work through every little detail and then put it in an action item. When we present these planners to the leadership team, when we're done, we stack it up and we give a copy of the planner to my dad. He'll have, by the time it's done, a stack full of planner Mrs. Furso or Honey Marin will go through this and take every action item and enter it on his calendar. He cares enough about the youth ministry to he wants to know what's going on. And so every little somewhat sometimes seems like silly action item, like submit a PO or make a phone call, he's got on his calendar too. So at any given time, he can come up, you know, what are you working on today? You know, you hate that, you know, nothing at the time. You're never working on anything when they ask you. But he knows, well, you're supposed to be submitting POs. And it's honestly, it's a rare thing that actually happens, but he's keeping an eye on it, and if our pastor's keeping an eye on it, how much more should we keep an eye on these things? So put the event down. Here's the project. Here's the vision that we want to do, and it's relayed in these events, these projects. Here is every step I have to do to get to that, and then here's the dates when I'm going to start these projects. Then it comes down to personal organization and time management, okay, which this session is not about, but there have been some great sessions. I don't know if there's one this year. If not, you can listen to it maybe on the website, on the podcast, because I know Brother Schmidt has taught these in the past, because it comes down to taking these action items, entering them into your planner so that on these dates, these items will pop up and remind you. And when we come to a youth meeting, this is what we come back to. We come back to, hey, here's the action items that we should be working on now. And it really, it works so well. And it doesn't matter what type of planning system, whether it's Franklin Covey or maybe a Getting Things Done with David Allen, but you've got to really sort this through, put it to an action item list. You know, and even my dad in the session earlier this morning talks about time activated. Make this an action item. That we hear that so often. Make this an action item. One thing that I can appreciate about my dad is there's very little happy talk in the ministry. And actually, I have to be careful about things that I say, because, hey, maybe we should do this. And all of a sudden, yeah, let's do it. Now you're in charge of it, and you better give me an action item for it. You know, I a couple months ago in a leadership meeting, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a camera up in the balcony, and we greeted our live stream audience. We had 2,000 people log on last night and watch a live stream. Wouldn't it be great if we greeted them, you know, made them a part? And I was like, that's a great idea. Make sure it happens. Now I had to get a cable run, and I had to move a pew up there. I had to get a light up there. I had to talk with Brother Butterfield, Brother Lester, write a script. I wish I never would have opened my mouth in there. So you got to be careful, because everything becomes an action item. So make sure that at an end of a meeting, it's not just a bunch of happy talk. Make sure it's an action item. What we do in our youth meetings, we come down to these things, and it's, you know, April 1st, and we're supposed to decide the budget. This is for one, not for the, this is for the following year, okay? This is a year out. Our youth conference is in April, so this, we don't start the planning sheet 2 weeks before youth conference. This is a year out. But when it comes to April 1st and we have our youth meetings, then we take all these action items and we assign them to someone on the team. And we really keep track of it. So the next time that we meet, myself or John Sisson, hey, this was your action item. Where are you at on that? And we always come and we meet with Brother Schmidt, and here's the update on that. All right? Implement a calendar strategy. That's what we're talking about. So we talked a little bit about putting the events on, then working backwards with the action item. This is not simply about filling the calendar with activities, okay? When it comes to activities, I talk to some guys, and I know there are a lot of youth groups that have weekly activities, and there's nothing wrong with the weekly activity, except for when you have to keep this in mind, quality over quantity. If you're having so many youth activities that you're killing yourself, that none of them are very good, we have one youth activity a month. And when we have a youth conference, you know, that's our one big one. There's a couple other times throughout the year where we work with the college on an activity. But other than that, we have one youth activity a month. Now, it's one junior high, one senior high, one college and career, you know, actually multiple college and career broken up by. So we're still going to a lot of activities and doing a lot of things. But quality over quantity. I think a lot of youth pastors have become glorified activities directors, and there's not a lot of real ministry taking place. And it seems when we pastors talk amongst ourselves, one of the things we ask frequently is, you know, do you have a good activity, you know, or Minute to Win It, you know, has been salvation for all of us, you know, because it's such a great idea. And we like sharing these ideas, but there's there's way more to real youth ministry than just activity planning. And that's what I appreciate so much about Brother Schmidt, the balance of, hey, real ministry first. One of the most effective ministry we do is home fellowships that we have. We have home fellowships every few months. Brother Schmidt will have some classes over, then I'll have some classes over. We always got to teen-proof our house first before they come. If you don't have teens over to your house, I would start like immediately. Start having them over every few months. There's something about letting them into your home. They'll listen to you better. You know, they'll respect you more. We had our 10th grade class, the class that was getting ready to promote. We had time activated to, before they promote into the 11th grade class, let's have a fellowship with them and let them know what we expect from them. So we had them over to my house. For the most part, they were really well behaved. We had a good time. We shared some testimonies and stuff. And then they left. A couple weeks later, we were going to barbecue, and I went and fired up my barbecue. And I wanted to get it real hot so I can throw some steaks on. So I turned it all the way up high, and then I went back in the house. I come back outside of my barbecue, my grill's on fire. And I opened it up, it's because we had just had the teens over a few weeks before, and they all thought it was funny to stuff the trash in my barbecue. So there's a whole stash of plates like that big with soda cans, so now all my food tastes like plastic in there. But we have the home fellowships, kind of a rabbit trail there, but the home fellowships are really important. Quality over quantity. Fewer with excellence rather than many with mediocrity. Everything we do must be done with quality. Anything less will communicate to our students the perception that Christianity is a second-rate, low-budget religion. And that's not the case at all. That's why, to me, it is a valid case to present, even if you must present it to your pastor. Of course, he's got the final veto power and everything. But to me, it's better to have fewer with better quality when it comes to youth activities. Then, fourthly and finally, frequently evaluate the effectiveness of your student ministry program. One thing I wrote here is avoid template ministry. My first few years of youth ministry, I had some great ideas, okay? Maybe they weren't great, but they're ambitious. You know, it's my first year. Let's do this and let's do this. And now, as I've been in it a few years, the tendency is to, let's do what we did last year. You know, that worked really well. And sometimes you do have an activity that's a real winner. I remember we had a ice skating activity, and the skating rink canceled on us. So we have like a week to plan a huge Christmas activity that we're going to have several hundred teens at, and we don't know what we're going to do. So we said, you know what, let's bring a screen out in the ball field. Let's play, you know, the old claymation, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on a screen, and let's put some Christmas lights around the truck. Let's have a bonfire with s'mores. It was awesome. Everyone loved it. So then the next year, we're in a crunch. We're really busy. What should we do? Well, let's do what we did last year. It worked well. And no one liked it. It was really weird. But avoid that template ministry. What you can't do is next year say, well, we did this all last year. Let's just change the dates on this, and we're fine. Avoid that template ministry. Avoid ministry by default. The differences are in the details. Then another thing that my dad always talks about quite frequently is create a tickler file. He calls it a tickler file. I don't know if that's a legitimate term or just something we made up here. Maybe it is a real thing, a tickler file. But something that to remind, it is a real thing. Something to, good. No, I thought it was brainwashed this whole time. Something to remind you of something that you need to do better later on, okay? As you finish a youth activity, okay, this didn't go so well. We need to remember next year to do this. We stick it in a tickler file, and we come back to that, and when we now put our new plan together, we make those adjustments, okay? Let's say we went to a place for teen camp, stopped on the way, and this restaurant didn't have parking for a bus. Let's change that. Let's throw that in the tickler file. And after every event, even like our teen camp that we just had, Brother Tellis was there. We sat around the table with all the youth pastors. We had, 10 youth pastors there, and Brother Schmidt asked, what can we do differently? And people were throwing out, and you know what? I can promise you that every one of those things is going to be done because he wrote them down. And he's gonna implement them into a plan. So evaluate, how did this activity go? We need to scratch this one, or this was really great this year, but that room didn't quite fit us. It was okay this year, but next year it won't be good. So put those things in a tickler file. And then realize that plans are subject to change. We can make some great plans, and you know, the Lord might lay on his heart to hey, let's move the date of this youth activity, or maybe you plan to have team Bible study on a Wednesday night. Be flexible with that. You know, we want to bring everyone in tonight. Make sure that you're flexible with that and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I really believe, if you're Spirit-filled, and as you're planning this, you plan prayerfully, I believe the Holy Spirit will help you map out the things that you need to do specifically for your youth ministry. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit is something else we hear all the time around here. And I can remember one person in particular, I just felt like, man, he's not doing so well. And I talked to Brother Schmidt later that day, and he thought the exact same thing. And sure enough, we scheduled some time with him. This guy was going through some major struggles that he never would have told us otherwise. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit laid that upon our hearts. So as you evaluate the ministry and you make changes, be okay with the changes and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't have your sacred cow youth activity that, you know, I really like this. We found out at teen camp there's some games that we really like to play, but the teens hate them. You know, we play human foosball, and we played it this year because we had an AstroTurf field, but man, we were playing that game like 10 years in a row, and finally one of the teens said, we all just hate it, you know? And we like watching it as youth pastors because we watch, like, seeing them get all dirty and busted up and heads cracked from this big ball that we use, and they hated it. So we were okay. We took it off the schedule for a few years until we got a better field, so be okay with that. Any questions about this? Hopefully it made sense as we covered it. If you do have any questions, you can email. Feel free to email Brother Schmidt. You can email me. Take this, make it a template, you know, map out. Make sure that you have an annual planner, though. That's the bottom thing.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.